The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And most of the multitude spread their garments on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. And the multitudes going before him and those who followed were crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
To be quiet, we anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Now when evening had come, he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me." And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself."
My mind is clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you clear away the myth from the man, you will see where things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the things you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right hand man all along. You have set them all apart. They think they found their new Messiah. Remember when this whole thing began? No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But every word you say today gets twisted round some other way. Famous son should have stayed a great unknown. Like his father carving wood, he'd have made good. Tables, chairs, and oaken chests would have suited Jesus best. He'd have caused nobody harm, no one else harm.
It's been said about the Christian story that the greatest test of the Christian story isn't loving Jesus, it's loving Judas. Many of us here have experienced betrayal at the hands of a Judas in our life. Perhaps it was a parent, maybe a child, maybe a spouse, teacher, coach, maybe even a minister. And if we were really honest, some of us here have betrayed others as well. You see, the journey to love and the journey to freedom begins with the possibility that perhaps the experience of betrayal can be a portal to love in our hearts. Because we all at some times in our lives feel the presence of the sacred betrayer within us. This sacred betrayer sabotages our unwilling, resistant thoughts, attitudes, and feelings, and propels us to our higher good as we let go of and die to our old ways of being and knowing. You see, love is an intelligence that seeks expression. And as love expresses itself among us, it's an invitation to love in new ways. And the good news is that we are already loved. We are already chosen. We are already seen. We are already valued. And yet, we resist. That's the betrayer. The question, Lord, how have I betrayed you, really is about how have I betrayed myself? And so we can give thanks to this sacred betrayer as a teacher and divine presence moving us to embrace our eternal Christ consciousness. From the Gospel of Mark, and while he was at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her.
Oh, won't you feel everything's all everything's all right, yes. Everything's all right, yes.
But Jesus said to her, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body for burial beforehand. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken in memory of her."
All right, yes. Woman, your fine ointment, brand new and expensive, could have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, matter more than your
The Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, guides us to give our best we have to the Christ of our being, even though sometimes we may doubt our worthiness. It can seem absurd. It can seem in the moment to make no sense at all. And if we come back to love, if we come back to trust, to surrender and to faith, we can find and we can discover that not only are we choosing, not only are we creating, but we are being chosen. And we are being created in the process. And thus we are always called to express our divinity through the power of love. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends and you did not choose me. I chose you. This I command you, to love one another.
Thank you.
the story of the love shared between Jesus and Mary Magdalene is stunning. And sadly, over the years, it's a story that's been lost and distorted into the story of Jesus loving a prostitute, forgiving her of her prostitution. That's not the story, my friends. This is a love relationship. And as this song just says, the cry of the heart is, how do I love this person? Have you ever experienced that in your life? How do I love this person? I have such fondness, such affection for them, and I don't know how. You see, that's the experience of love's freedom. Great joy and great suffering. And the fruit of the Christ consciousness of love in our life is that love. We today are the fruit of the Christ expressing itself as love. This love of Christ meets our every need, and we can be delighted by God to be loving. Through the Christ in me, love is my purpose, which I fulfill through the presence of faith. You see, God is present and is proud to be present in our reality as things are, not as we think they should be. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." And then he said, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as thou will."
Take this cup away.
How could a story of such great love include a cross? Maybe the cross is not what many of us have been taught, a place of judgment, punishment, shame, guilt. What if instead the cross was a symbol of solidarity? The solidarity of sacred love's presence to sustain us in all things. Because if we're honest, we can say that love protects us from absolutely nothing. And yet, miraculously, sustains us in everything. The word Gethsemane, you know what that means? It means olive press. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, it was the place where olives were pressed. And the imagery is so vivid. As an olive is crushed, what comes out of that olive? Precious oil, olive oil, used in blessing. And so the hope for our lives today is wherever you may experience yourself being crushed like an olive, as an olive press, there's an oil of blessing. Leonard Cohen said that it's in the cracks in our heart that the light goes out and the light comes in. And so there's a time in each of our lives when we know we face these trials and these temptations, and therefore we can accept responsibility for our choices, our belief, and welcome the results for the principles in which we stand and be one with the God of our being, which will never leave us. And therefore, I am strengthened, comforted, and at peace. I go willingly in faith to my greater good, to the light of love. And while he was still speaking, Behold, Judas came up, accompanied by a great multitude carrying swords and clubs. And immediately he went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. The story of Jesus of Nazareth includes his interaction with political and spiritual powers of his day. And those interactions are all about the unfolding of the difference between the love of power and the power of love. And that love of power shows up in many, many interesting, insidious ways. Now, Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time because he'd been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And so he questioned him at some length, but Jesus answered him nothing.
Jesus, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, raising from the dead. And now I understand you're God. At least that's what you say. So if you are the Christ, since the great Jesus Christ, prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need to. Then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus, you won't believe the hits you made round here. You're all we talk about, the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. But still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you try. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ, prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews.
Today anymore, do we? Yeah, put our little whatever. Okay. Some things never change. We'll never learn. All right. And Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him to Pilate. And the soldiers took him away into the palace, and they dressed him in purple. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they kept beating his head with a reed and spitting at him and kneeling and bowing before him. And after they had mocked him, they let him out to crucify him. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and it was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his Spirit.
In my arms, you
May I invite you to a moment of quiet reflection right now? You may want to close your eyes, or if that's not comfortable, just allow them to softly focus on something right in front of you. Just allow yourself to be still and to take in some of what you've seen and heard here this morning. It's been said that in the experience of love's expression, we die to love at the hands of love, to all that is not love, until all that remains is love. We die to love at the hands of love, to all that is not love, until all that remains is love. Maybe allowing yourself to be met, to be held, to be supported by love. Lay down your sweet and weary head. Night is falling. You have come to journey's end. Safe in my arms, you're only sleeping. What can you see on the horizon? Why do the white gulls call? Across the sea, a pale moon rises. The ships have come to carry you home. Now allowing yourself to come back to the presence of the room. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." The way of love that Jesus showed and taught was that it's not about who or what we pray to or for, but where we pray from. And Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. And because I live, you shall live also.
I don't understand how you did the things you did. You're so out of hand.
You'd have managed better if you had it planned.
Why'd you choose such a backward time in such a strange land? If you'd come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel lived for BC, had no mass communication. Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
Do you think you're what they say?